This is The God of the Library Office, written by Gisso and read by Flower Parish. This is a Queen's Thief fic that is not rated, in which the creator chose not to use archive warnings. "You were reckless," Edis told her thief. "Relax, I'm immortal. That just means they can hurt you for a very long time." He shrugged. It was maddening to watch him there, lying flat in bed with his brownish-red skin gone sickly gray, looking completely unconcerned about the prospect. "They'd get bored eventually," he said. "I can wait anybody out." "You spent 4 months in prison. Stones don't get bored. What if they'd decided to leave you there and let you starve?" Edis noticed she was clutching at her knees, possibly making a horrible wrinkled mess of her gown. She made herself stop and brush it out. Probably she shouldn't yell at someone who was still flat on his back with a fever. Almost certainly she shouldn't yell at a god, not even a god who lived in her library and who'd gone camping with her when she was a child and who'd taught her to use Sedotian numerals. "I'm honored you brought me Hemiathy's gift, but I wouldn't have traded you away to get it." Eugenides let out a long sigh. "Stones don't get bored," he admitted, "but guards get careless. Kings declare jubilees. Iron rusts. It was a professional risk, my queen." "You could have told me what you were planning, my thief." Edis lay her hand over his. It felt warm and bony, only a little larger than hers. "I might not have worried so much." Eugenides did look ashamed at that, and as always with Jen, Edis couldn't hold on to her annoyance. He looked younger than Edis now, and that was still disconcerting. Jen had always been there, a quiet figure on the edges of banquets and festivals, a comfortable shadow in the library. No one questioned his presence. No one wondered why he didn't look quite Edisian, or why he vanished sometimes for seasons at a time, or how someone so young-faced had lived there for so long. It was, beyond his immortality, his one godly trick. Helen had never wondered herself, until one spring when she asked him if he wanted to come see a ruined temple. "There's something I have to tell you," Edis told him, "about the gift." "What? It's not stopped working, has it? Arrakthus was supposed to look after the thing." The petulance in Jen's voice made Edis smile, but surely Jen had seen what the gift did to everyone else who saw it. It was right there, a weight around Helen's neck. She could have handed it over to inspect. "I have to destroy it." Eugenides went still. Sometimes, for a moment, it was obvious how old her thief was. Edis took a breath. "Moira came to me. She said that the gift was not meant to be in the world forever. She said that I should return it to the sacred mountain." "And you will be the last Edis." We knew that. They had known it since she was 9, since they found Periphas and Moira roasting pigeons in a ruined temple, and Periphas had asked Jen why he stayed away so long. Edis wanted to stroke his hair, offer comfort, but in this mood, Jen would lash out at the touch. Keeping the gift wouldn't change it. "You could keep it a very long time," Jen whispered. "It's not like you need to pass it on to your son. Why should the gods get their way all the time?" "Their way," he said, as if they were a group completely disconnected from himself. Edis shook her head. "I don't think I could bear it," she admitted. "Moira was right. It's not meant to be in this world." "Did she tell you why?" "No." The silent laugh that shook Jen's shoulders looked like it hurt. It only lasted a few seconds. "Showed up, upended your fate without actually explaining things, didn't even drop in and see me. How very like a god." That Eugenides and Moira had some old important thing between them, Edis had worked out from a handful of comments at intervals of years. She didn't think she would get a better explanation now, and decided not to make the attempt. "Do you know why?" "I don't," Eugenides told her, "any more than I know why the plague came, or why the snows are deeper every winter. the world isn't what it used to be. That's ominous. It's true. His voice was soft. Not important. You have it now. Everyone knows. Hermione's gift, Edis had. She worked it out long after a moment's thought. He was already losing the thread of the conversation. Jen was exhausted. Well, he'd earned it. Because of you. Thank you. He grinned at her, eyes fever bright. How many times have you taken it from that temple? Arrakis keeps changing the locks. It wasn't exactly an answer. Edis wondered how many centuries it had been since Eugenides visited last, and why he'd stopped. Something to ask him later, maybe, when he was well enough to get out of bed. He said, "Did you like your presents?" Involuntarily, Edis clutched at the gift. "Not that one," Eugenides went on, before Edis could even try to think of an answer. "The handsome prince and the wise old advisor. They've been wonderful to talk to, the Magus especially, but I will have to send them back. Not right away. Keep them a month and they'll be yours forever, even if they have to go back to Sunnis for a while. You have a high opinion of my charm." "Well, sometimes you smile at me." He sighed, slumping back against the pillows like a child kept up for a midnight festival. "Let me rest, my queen. I've given you everything I can." Edis pressed a kiss to his forehead. It smelled of stale sweat, like any man's might in the midst of a lingering illness. "Rest. I'll be back tomorrow." Not until the night before the planned ceremony, with Sunnis and Edis and the ambassadors of the Continental Powers all asleep in the guest quarters of the Palace of Edis, did Edis herself work out what had been brushing the edges of her thoughts, like a curtain fluttering in the corner of her vision. She had already dismissed her attendants for the night. She pulled a jacket on over her nightshirt and set out by the secret ways Eugenides himself had showed her long ago. Jen was not sleeping either. He was sitting on the library window seat, staring out at the almost full moon. He didn't look away when Edis settled down beside him and laid a hand on his knee. "Jen, look at me." He looked. He didn't say anything. "I said I wouldn't have traded you for Hermione's gift, Jen. I meant it." She brushed her thumb over the feather-shaped scar on his cheek. Jen shuddered at the touch, but he didn't protest. "And I wouldn't lose you to destroy it, whatever Moira says. Jen, if I send the gift into the flames tomorrow, will you still be here in the spring?" It took a little too long for Eugenides to answer, long enough for Edis's heart to hammer. He was Helen's god. Edis might give goats to Hephaestia as tradition demanded and thank Proas for a good harvest. Proas had never shared an almond cake with her. Hephaestia had not come to her bed the night after her coronation and held her while she cried for her father. This library was the nearest to a temple Eugenides had, and people told fireside stories about him instead of making prayers. But he was Helen's god, if nobody else's. "I'm not going anywhere." The knot around Helen's heart uncoiled a little. "Good. Why were you worrying about that?" He blinked, doing a good impression of incredulity. "The world isn't what it used to be." Jen's own words, and he winced at the quotation. "I don't know if you could lose your immortality." "I mean, I could, but it'd have to be on purpose." Jen grinned, as bright and young as ever. "You're immortal, not all-knowing." Edis took his hand. "That's why you went to all the trouble to be sure the Magus saw you stealing it, didn't you? You weren't sure if the gift still worked, not after all those centuries." Her thief laughed. "Oh, well spotted." "But it did. Some things don't change." There were scars on his wrists, still, where the manacles had rubbed them raw. Edis took Eugenides' hands in hers. Sometimes she wondered if her forefathers had understood who, exactly, was living in their library office and how lucky they were for it. The moonlight was soft silver over them both. Outside, the world lay still and quiet, not even a breeze disturbing the dead leaves in the corners of the courtyard. "It would have to be on purpose," he said. Edis had seen Jen, 3 days ago, showing her Minister of War's 4-year-old granddaughter how to make shadow puppets, the figures of a goat and a rabbit and a thrush, on the wall of her throne room after supper. How many generations had he taught that trick? Jen belonged here. The world would not change enough to make him into a stranger. Edis had to keep believing that. The end.